It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Vaccine America. Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. President Biden announces today new vaccine and testing requirements for the 2.1 million Americans who work for the federal government. Correspondent Nancy Cordes starts us off.
This will set a precedent for states and cities and companies across the country, because what we're talking about here is the entire federal workforce, about 2 million people plus contractors who would all be required to either show proof of vaccination or submit to regular testing.
And already the pushback has begun.
A union representing federal law enforcement officers said the president lacks the authority to force them to get vaccinated, calling it a clear civil rights violation.
Correspondent Laura Podesta, California Governor Gavin Newsom took similar action this week and tells CBS News,
"We can end this pandemic in this country once and for all in a matter of weeks by simply doing the one thing that we have in abundance, and that's taking advantage of these life-saving drugs.
State workers in New York must also get vaccinated or subject themselves to weekly testing. And starting in September, several upscale restaurants in New York City are going to make you get vaccinated in order to eat there. New COVID cases skyrocketing in states with low vaccination rates. Matt Doherty reports from hard-hit Houston, Texas.
The numbers show a frightening prediction that's now coming true. TMC hospitals report that COVID-19 patient admissions are growing at an average of almost 10% per day now. Yesterday, TMC hospitals admitted 187 new COVID-19 patients. Last month, the average was only 48 per day.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott is now banning the transportation of sick migrants at the southern border as America's illegal immigration crisis and COVID crisis worsen.
The Biden administration cares more about people who are not residents of America than it does of the residents of America. He has one standard, trying to mask up and vaccinate, but by allowing free pass into the United States of people with a high probability of COVID and then spreading that COVID in our communities, as has been shown in the Rio Grande Valley. So what the Biden administration is doing is deadly, is dangerous, and it must be stopped.
A group of six sick migrants released by Border Patrol spread COVID at a fast food restaurant and a hotel in La Jolla, Texas, earlier this week.
I have a job to protect the safety and health of the people of the state of Texas, and that includes, especially now, preventing President Biden from importing COVID-19 into Texas as well as into the United States.
There's been a 900% spike in COVID cases in migrants in custody at the southern border since last summer. Texas Congressman Chip Roy says we have a crisis at the border.
And we're playing footsie with mask mandates in the people's house. I mean, it's absolutely absurd what this body is doing, the people's house. It's an embarrassment. It's a mockery. And the American people are fed up. They want to go back to life. They want to go back to business. They want to go back to school without their children being forced to wear masks, to be put in a corner, to have mental health issues.
Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan says the mixed mask messaging is maddening.
Dr. Fauci initially said no mask. Then he said, well, no, wear one mask. Then he said, well, no, wear two masks. Then he said, no, back to one mask. Then he said, oh, you don't need a mask. And now yesterday he says, oh, now you do need a mask again, even if you're vaccinated. So you don't know what to believe with these folks.
Conservative columnist Mark Thiessen thinks there's too much fear-mongering going on.
Look, if you're vaccinated, the pandemic is over, okay? Hospitalization rate for COVID, if you've had the vaccine, is 0.003%, and the death rate from those breakthrough infections is 0.0005%. Put that in perspective, you are more likely to die from a bee sting, a dog attack, drowning, sunstroke, or choking on food than you are of dying of COVID-19 if you have been fully vaccinated.
Still, big tech cracking down when it comes to COVID. Starting today, Apple Inc. is requiring masks in half its stores. Google and Facebook requiring vaccines for in-office employees. And Twitter has sent home all of its workforce in New York City. A $1 trillion infrastructure improvement package moving forward in the Senate. Lawmakers have cleared a path for a final vote before the August recess. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
The Senate has just come together and in a strong bipartisan fashion voted to begin the legislative process here on the Senate floor.
West Virginia Democrat Joe Manchin says making important upgrades to our nation's roads and bridges should not be a partisan issue.
That pothole doesn't have a Democrat or Republican's name on it. It'll bust your tire, doesn't care who you are.
The spending plan invests over $500 billion into America's aging infrastructure. A lot of the money will also go toward improving broadband service. Late last night, a powerful magnitude 8.2 earthquake shook Alaska.
In terms of big earthquakes, I mean, this is top five here for Alaska. Yeah, this is a big deal. So we'll have to continue to monitor this. We didn't have a big tsunami, but there were warnings overnight last night. So pretty scary situation.
Fox News meteorologist Janice Dean, the earthquake was 29 miles deep in the ocean, some 250 miles off the coast of southern Alaska. Call her the Golden Girl, a new star shining bright at the Summer Olympics in Tokyo.
This is so surreal, and I haven't even let it sink in yet. There are definitely a lot of emotions, but I'm super proud of myself for sticking with it and believing in myself.
That's 18-year-old American gymnast Suni Lee, and she took home the gold in the all-around today. The former favorite, Simone Biles, withdrew from competition and watched from the front row. Team USA making a big splash in the pool as well.
The U.S. continues to cash in here at the Aquatic Center. The U.S. has now won 21 medals here. Six of them have been gold. The two latest golds coming in the men's 100-meter freestyle. So the U.S. is dominating here in swimming, maybe a bit more than some expected.
Steve Futterman reporting from Tokyo. Still to come on the Noon Report for a Thursday. Is it legal? New York's new vaccine requirement. Pennsylvania says no to critical race theory. And teacher pay looking up in both New York and PA.
This is meteorologist Ken McKinley. Showers and thundershowers affecting the region as we head through the afternoon. It'll stay cloudy overnight tonight with some clearing tomorrow, but temperatures will be rather cool. Full forecast details are coming up in about 10 minutes.
All right. Thank you very much, Ken. Those storms are now roaming the region big time, especially western New York, getting socked right now. Some of these storms capable of producing 60-mile-per-hour winds and drenching downpours. A tornado may have touched down near Fredonia, but those reports are unconfirmed. And look for those thunderstorms to continue as they move west to east throughout the afternoon. Going to be a wet afternoon in much of New York and Pennsylvania. A Buffalo, New York man will spend the next 20 years behind bars after being convicted today of gun trafficking. The U.S. Attorney's Office says 38-year-old Titus Thompson Jr. sold more than 100 illegal firearms before he was arrested in the spring of 2018. Legal Eagles chiming in today on the constitutionality of Governor Cuomo's latest pandemic-inspired executive order. The chief executive is mandating that all New York State employees and healthcare workers get the coronavirus vaccine or subject themselves to weekly testing.
And I encourage all local governments to do the same. It's smart, it's fair. It's in everyone's interest.
Corey Hogan's an attorney from Western New York and is suing the state over the vaccine requirement.
I don't know how the governor or anybody in the state could require any New York State employee to be vaccinated without proper authority. And the only authority that I'm aware of is that the legislature would have to try to pass a bill to do so.
The governor is also calling on local governments to take seriously new CDC mask guidelines. Currently, there are no counties in our listening area that meet the threshold to mask up. The CDC recommending masks in school as well, K through 12, no exceptions. Once again, Governor Cuomo.
If we don't take the right actions, schools can become super spreaders in September. It will happen.
Critics say the mask mandate in school will cause undue anxiety for teachers, parents, and students alike. Mike Cornell, superintendent of Hamburg Central near Buffalo.
I think it's really important that the state start with the why. Whatever guidance they give us, it has to be purpose-driven. They have to start with the why. You know, people don't always react to being told what to do first. I think people respond much better with the why.
He thinks mask mandates should be left to local districts to decide, not Albany.
We've hit the point in the arc of the pandemic where a lot of these decisions should be made by superintendents and local school boards.
Schools are making plans in New York to be open for business 5 days a week come September. In Pennsylvania, Governor Wolf is not reinstating any statewide mask mandate in K-12 schools. The prospects of masks coming back is scary to a lot of folks, including small business owners, struggling to get back on their feet from this pandemic.
Obviously, it's a shock, fear, anger, all the emotions are hitting me.
That's Jimmy Batera. He owns a pizza shop in Western New York.
Our customers are quite content coming in and enjoying themselves, not having to wear a mask. So many people were grateful that they lost the mask mandates. So to even toy with the idea of them coming back is a scary time for all of us.
Butera is afraid he will lose business if the masks come back. The head of the Pennsylvania Restaurant and Lodging Association says eateries in the Commonwealth continue to struggle because of COVID. He says small businesses are plagued by debt incurred during the COVID crisis, also a workforce shortage that is unprecedented, and rising food prices. John Longstreet says that's a perfect storm that will likely spell the doom of hundreds of privately owned restaurants and hotels throughout Pennsylvania. Well, Wegmans is making its first foray into Manhattan. The Rochester-based grocery giant announced today it's opening a store in Manhattan in 2023. This will be Wegmans' second store in the New York City area. It first opened at the Brooklyn Naval Yard back in 2019. Pennsylvania says it has no plans to teach critical race theory in school next fall. Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
As a national debate rages about the teaching of critical race theory in the classroom, the Pennsylvania Department of Education says schools will not incorporate the subject matter into classrooms anytime soon. That said, however, the state is committed to encouraging, quote, diversity, equity, and inclusion at all 500 school districts across the Commonwealth. Critical race theory teaches that systemic racism is embedded in the nation's legal system and public policies. Opponents say it teaches kids to hate America and hate each other and has no business being taught in the classroom. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. Teacher pay in Pennsylvania averages north of $70,000 a year. That's 11th best in the country. According to the National Education Association, no state pays its teachers better than New York. Average pay in the Empire State, over $87,000 a year. Nationwide, average teacher pay is closer to $64,000. Well, if your kid is a standout high school athlete in New York, or he or she could be raking in big bucks soon from their name, image, or likeness, just like they do in college sports. Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
Yeah, that's right. The proposal came up this week at the New York State Public High School Athletic Association's annual committee meeting in the Catskills. It would revise the amateur rule, which currently prohibits high school athletes from capitalizing on their athletic fame by receiving gifts or money. The vote by the executive committee will take place on October 20th. Now, the discussion started last month after a similar NIL rule change at the college level that made headlines. One high school athlete in California, just signed an NIL contract expected to bring in millions of dollars. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Unbelievable. Thank you, Jeremy. More sports next. It's the 2-Minute Drill with Sonny Delfia.
Thank you, Bob. Spoiler alert. Some Olympic results. The U.S. adding another gold medal to its count thanks to Sunisa Lee. Suni Lee finished first in the women's gymnastics all-around final.
I was starting to put a little bit too much pressure on myself knowing that Simone was gone. I feel like people kind of put that pressure on me that I had to come back with a medal. So I try not to think about it, and that's what they told me to do, to just focus on myself and do what I normally do, because that's when I compete the best.
Lee became the fifth straight American woman to claim the Olympic title, the Hmong American, edging Rebeca Andrade of Brazil. Andrade earned the first gymnastics all-around medal by a Latin American athlete, American swimming star Caleb Dressel, taking home his first ever individual medal after grabbing the gold in the men's 100 100-meter freestyle.
So I checked the scoreboard a couple times to make sure I wasn't misreading it. Once I saw our USA section going crazy, I knew I had it.
Dressel finished with an Olympic record time. American swimmer Bobby Fink capturing the first ever gold medal in the men's 800-meter freestyle at the Tokyo Olympics.
It hasn't sunk in yet. I'm just super, super grateful for that race, my coaches, friends, family, all the support I got at home, man. It just means a lot that I could do that for them.
Fink will aim for another gold medal in the men's 1,500-meter freestyle. The U.S. is taking home the silver medal in the women's 4x200 freestyle swimming relay in a race in which the top three finishers bested the previous world record time in Tokyo. Stateside, Brandon Drury hit a go-ahead homer as the Mets beat the Braves 2-1 at home. The Boston Red Sox and Toronto Blue Jays split their doubleheader 4-1 and 4-1. Yankees get by Tampa Bay 3-1 in 10 innings in St. Petersburg. And how about Pirates rookie Rodolfo Castro?
Fly ball to left field. Rodolfo Castro clears the deck with a cannonball.
He became the first player in Major League Baseball history to have his first five hits all be home runs. He hit two more yesterday in the Pirates 7-3 loss to Milwaukee. Some Pirates fans are joking they'll probably trade him. For family life, I'm Sonny Delphiette.
Yeah, and there's one of them right there, Sonny. Thank you very much. Wow, what a start for that kid. And still to come on the Noon Report, border COVID crisis, National Chicken Wing Day, and how to handle toxic people.
Seems like each and every conversation we have these days is all or nothing. But the Christian worldview is bigger than that. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Last week, a friend forwarded me a letter circulating in his community. It called for him to apologize for his race. It placed on him the burden of hundreds of years of institutional racism and past injustices. There was no room for dissent, no room for disagreement. Agree in every way or stand condemned. That's not uncommon in this cultural moment. There's an incredible intensity, as my friend put it, an incredible absolutism for each and every issue, not just the race issue. It seems that the entire world is at stake in what we think and what we say. Despite near constant calls to have dialogue and conversations, too often tempers flare and the whole thing devolves into diatribe, echo chambers reinforcing what each side has already thought. And for Christians, these moments threaten to steal our understanding of where we fit in a greater story. The story, capital T, capital S, that God is writing for the whole world and that scripture reveals. The story of creation to new creation, from the heavens and earth to the new heavens and new earth. We're somewhere in that timeline, in this tale of creation, fall, redemption, and restoration. It's realizing that we have been created by a good God and have been created good as part of a marvelous story of redemption and renewal. Even though in the fall of Adam, so much of God's good creation has been twisted and frustrated and left so many fractured and in need of reorientation and healing, the story is clear that God has worked in history, in Christ, to renew his creation and to make people new and to help them understand their role in the grand story of the renewal of all things. As we see this story correctly, as we become part of this story, as we learn to find our moment in the larger story, then suddenly we can have the clarity that we all need, particularly in this confusing cultural moment right now. The Christian worldview is big enough for the challenges that we face. It's big enough for all the experiences in the world, both the problems and the glories, the groanings and the graces, the things that make us stand in awe and the things that make us weep in despair. In fact, if we have a correct view of Christian history and a correct view of the sovereignty of God, and the authority of Christ over all of creation, moments like these, as confusing and crazy as they are, could even get us excited. Because we know that God's bigger than any cultural moment. And we know that God is revealing himself to us in new and powerful ways. This commitment is what drives and grounds the Colson Center in almost everything that we do, especially in our periodic short courses. Coming out of the Wilberforce weekend, where we focused all of our attention on this idea of the image of God, we want to take that to an even deeper level. And so I'm so pleased that our next short course will be looking at additional aspects of the image of God. This will go along with a brand new book published by my colleagues, Tim Padgett and Dr. Glenn Sunshine, on the idea of the image of God. You can join our latest short course and get a copy of this book on the image of God for a donation of any amount to the Colson Center this month. This is going to be an incredible short course, starting with Oz Guinness, who will be talking about Woke or Awakened, how to provide an alternative vision for addressing society's ills. And then a session with Chris Brooks, how to provide a vision of the Imago Dei to someone else. And then Angela Franks will be joining us for a session called Fluid or Stable, Why It's So Hard in Our Culture to Find Identity. The short course is weekly and it begins tonight. If you can't join us for our live sessions, don't worry. You can always get a recording of each and every week. A 3-week short course and a book on the image of God. That's our gift to you for a gift of any amount to the Colson Center this month. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
Got some stormy weather outside. Ken McKinley, your turn.
Good afternoon. Most areas have already seen at least some shower and thundershower activity. We'll have some more as we head through the afternoon, although it will begin to wind down over far western areas. Stronger storms are likely to occur over Pennsylvania locations as we head through the afternoon and into the evening. Activity will pretty well be over with by sunset in most locations, but a few more showers could pop up overnight in a few spots and maybe even early tomorrow in some locations as well. Eventually, the clouds will clear out tomorrow. We'll see developing sunshine, also a brisk breeze and temperatures tomorrow, which won't warm up that much. It'll be quite cool for the season tomorrow night, with many areas dropping into the 40s. On Saturday, some sunshine, but also a few clouds. Overall, a fairly pleasant day to begin the weekend. Still cool for the season. Sunday will be a bit unsettled once again with some more showers and thundershowers.
All right, Ken, thank you very much. Filling in for Kevin this week. This is the Noon Report. I'm your host, Bob Price. Great to have you with us today. Here's what's going on Thursday afternoon, the 29th of July. There's a new Golden Girl at the Summer Olympics.
St. Paul, Minnesota native Suni Lee of the U.S. winning gold in the women's individual all-around gymnastics competition this morning. An American woman has won every Olympic all-around since 2004.
The former favorite to win the all-around, Simone Biles, withdrew from the competition, citing mental health reasons.
Please don't judge other people and what they're going through. You can't just suck it up and not be depressed or anxious. It's just part of the human experience.
Sports psychologist Dr. Julie Wernick thinks the backlash against Biles is unwarranted.
A lot of people think that there's weakness in saying I'm anxious or I'm depressed, because we all should feel like we're on and we should be perfect.
Out of COVID, day by day, pressure grows to get more of us vaccinated as cases rise and a surge in deaths is feared this fall.
This is Jacques Lee. He's 17, 6'2", 365 pounds. He's a high school football player.
What are you struggling with?
Breathing, major headaches, and coughing.
Fatina Watkins is his mother. Miss Watkins is fully vaccinated, and her son received his first dose of the Pfizer vaccine 3 weeks ago.
It could be way worse than what it is now.
The COVID case rate here among pediatric patients has jumped just in the last week.
Situation is dire.
Dr. Mark Klein is the physician in chief here.
On Monday, we had 4 hospitalized patients with COVID. Today, we have 17. The children are more ill. They require higher levels of care. Sadly, I think we're going to be seeing more deaths over the coming weeks.
Correspondent Dave Begno in New Orleans. President Biden this afternoon will announce an unprecedented effort to boost the vaccination rate at the federal level. He's requiring all 2.1 million Americans who work for Uncle Sam to get the COVID shot or be tested at least once a week. COVID cover-up. The Department of Health and Human Services accused of trying to keep under wraps an outbreak of the coronavirus at a federal detention facility for migrant children. Griff Jenkins of Fox News.
27% of migrant children are positive right now. This COVID problem that they're dealing with, maybe the administration is finally realizing they have a problem on their hands that, if left alone, is going to be catastrophic going forward.
The COVID outbreak happened on a military base, Fort Bliss, in El Paso, Texas. Border towns across South Texas seeing an influx of coronavirus cases within their communities.
What we've seen over the last 6 months is really two different standards, one for the American people and another for illegal immigrants who are coming across that border. And we see this not only in the state of Texas, but we see it all along the border. They're catching them, and then they are moving them to bus stations, to airports, and then they are releasing them into American communities, into border communities. It's a very dangerous situation, and governors like Governor Abbott in Texas are having to take matters into their own hand because the federal government's not doing its job in protecting American citizens.
Governor Abbott has just instituted a transportation ban for sick migrants who may be spreading the virus. Governor Cuomo is requiring the COVID shot for New York State workers and healthcare employees.
Cuomo says he'll work with unions to put this policy in place. State employees would either have to get the coronavirus vaccine by Labor Day or get tested weekly. And he says workers at state-run hospitals who interact with patients must get the vaccine, and they do not have a testing option.
It's smart. It's fair. It's in everyone's interest.
Scott Pringle, New York.
And when it comes to schools, the state cannot force teachers or staff to get the COVID shot, but local districts can. Adam Urbanski is president of the Rochester Teachers Association. He thinks weekly testing for the unvaccinated is good middle ground.
I respect personal choices, but if you will choose to not get vaccinated, I think it's reasonable to require some periodic testing. You are making the classroom safer.
Governor Cuomo says if New York does not take the right action, schools will become super spreaders come September. It's 25 past the hour. This is the Noon Report.
This is Faith Under Fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. With us today, Christian author Gary Thomas. We've heard for years that hurting people hurt people. While we've each been wounded at some point, what traits would you say characterize a toxic person versus someone safe or emotionally healthy?
Well, every toxic person is difficult. Not every difficult person is toxic. But some things to look out for. First would be controlling behavior. They want you to do what they want you to do. They don't respect your own right. It's the opposite of God, who says, choose you this day whom you will serve. It's more like, you're going to do what I want you to do. A murderous spirit is another one that might sound melodramatic, but by that I mean you just see a lot of destruction in their life. As God is a God of life, Satan is one who brings death. They destroy family gatherings. They destroy office environments. They destroy your own peace, your joy, your sense of confidence. They often put people against each other. When you look back in their life and you just see this murder after murder after murder of relationships and personal qualities and whatnot, you start to say, this person just brings toxicity wherever they go. A third marker is that they love to hate. In Colossians 3, Paul gives us an example that we should pursue kindness, gentleness, compassion, faith, and love. Then he warns us away, and these are the toxic markers: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, and lying. Differences, we all can do some in that last list, but we usually hate it. We want to repent of it. We say, Lord, help, relieve me from that. A toxic person, they come alive when they can express their anger. They come alive when they can express malice, wanting to bring someone down. That's when they feel most energetic. Really, they're at their best when they're doing their worst.
Gary, those character traits can be frightening. In your book, When to Walk Away, you basically say cutting ties from a toxic person is probably best for our well-being. Jesus modeled that, and yet he clearly kept one toxic person close to his side, his future betrayer, Judas.
Yes.
Why do you think he did this? And what strategy can we use when it comes to toxic people in our lives, Gary?
Well, to accomplish Jesus' ultimate purpose to go to the cross, Judas was the tool that was needed for that betrayal to happen. And so we know that Jesus wasn't caught by surprise by what Judas did, because he released him to go do it. And I think ultimately what it means, Tracy, is that our own comfort shouldn't be at the top. Throughout the book, what I stress is the importance of mission. I talk about getting away from toxic people, not so much for our psychological health, although I believe in that. I'm just not a counselor. That's not what I'm addressing. It really is about preserving our Christian mission. In this case, a toxic person actually serve Christ's mission, and so he was willing to endure. It's the same way where Paul at times says, I'm willing to go to Rome even though I know I'm going to be imprisoned. But at other times, no, you don't get to beat me today. I'm a Roman citizen. How dare you beat me? It really was about the mission that these people sought. And if they felt like this person would help move that mission forward, they weren't going to get in the way. But if this wasn't God's mission at the time, they would willingly walk away.
Wow, that just stood out to me so much as far as a truth that sometimes we don't recognize because we're so blinded by the shock of the toxicity.
It's understanding what our mission is and what our call is so that we can know how to handle the toxic person. The real danger of leaving a toxic person in your life is if he's destroying your joy. Well, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. If they're gaslighting you so you feel like you're going crazy, without any sense of self-confidence, you're not going to feel like you can reach out to someone else or offer words of encouragement to someone else or even share the gospel with someone else. And so if someone is destroying you bit by bit, which is really sort of a definition of a toxic person, it's not so much you preserving yourself as preserving the calling that God has given you. Because if you're torn apart, your ability to minister is torn apart as well. Jesus focused on the positive mission, and that's what we should do as well. When he needed to, he would deal with the toxicity. I put it this way. If I'm driving down the road and there's a bunch of garbage on the side of the road, I'm not going to stop my car to pick up the garbage. That's not my mission in the moment. However, if there's so much garbage that I'm not able to drive my car through it, I'm going to have to park the car, push the garbage aside so that I can go forward. And that's sort of how I view my mission. Sometimes you have to deal with toxic people. Sometimes you have to be confrontational. Sometimes you have to have those difficult conversations. But it's really about whether it's required in the moment for that mission to be done.
That's Christian author Gary Thomas. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
All right, great discussion. Thank you, Tracy. And the name of the program, Faith Under Fire, comes your way every Thursday during the Noon Report or online anytime, familylife.org.
Good afternoon. Most areas have already seen at least some shower and thundershower activity. We'll have some more as we head through the afternoon, although it will begin to wind down over far western areas. Stronger storms are likely to occur over Pennsylvania locations as we head through the afternoon and into the evening. Activity will pretty well be over with by sunset at most locations, but a few more showers could pop up overnight in a few spots and maybe even early tomorrow in some locations as well. Eventually, the clouds will clear out tomorrow. We'll see developing sunshine, also a brisk breeze and temperatures tomorrow, which won't warm up that much. It'll be quite cool for the season tomorrow night with many areas dropping into the 40s. On Saturday, some sunshine, but also a few clouds. Overall, a fairly pleasant day to begin the weekend. Still cool for the season. Sunday will be a bit unsettled once again with some more showers and thundershowers.
All right, Ken McKinley at the Weather Center. Finally from us at noon today, it is National Chicken Wing Day, don't you know? And Family Life's Bill Price tells us this fan favorite comfort food traces its roots to Western New York.
Yeah, Bob, deep fried chicken wings have long been a staple of Southern cooking, but the concept of cooking wings and peppery hot sauce that was born back in 1964 at the Anchor Bar in Buffalo. Co-owner Teresa Bellissimo cooked leftover wings and hot sauce as a late night snack for her son and his friends. She served them with a side of blue cheese and celery because that's what she had available. The guys liked them so much that the Bellissimos put them on the menu the very next day. Almost instantaneously, Buffalo wings were born. Each year, the city hosts Wing Fest, the largest chicken wing festival in the world. Americans consume, on average, nearly 300 chicken wings a year. Bill Price, Family Life News.
I may have consumed that many last week. Thanks, Bill. That's the world we live in Thursday. Love myself some chicken wings. It's the 29th of July. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.